I'm gonna woo him. He came to my place and I had cooked dinner and I put on a cute dress. It's like, oh my God, you made a bit of a spread. I'm like, yes, I have. Look how adorable I am.
We're back for more adventures in dating. I'm Andrea Gunning.
And I'm Ben Fetterman.
And you're listening to Dating Diaries, Questions and Confessions.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ben, have you ever thought about how many marriages, how many kids were created because of workplace romance?
I mean, I think it makes sense, right? People get busy at work, and it makes sense because you're spending 40, 45, 50 hours a week in one place. These are the people you come in contact with every day. This is the pool.
Yeah, so it's hard to know whether to swim in that pool, right? And that's the issue that's been a challenge for our first single today.
My name is Kat. I've tried the dating apps, never had any good luck with them. I'm a network administrator. And in this field, there's nothing but men. So I always stuck to this rule of never getting involved with someone that I worked with. Get hit on all the time, but I just like stuck to the rule. I'm working constantly, 12-hour shifts, 7 days a week.
That sounds rough. All work and no play?
I don't like just sitting home. I want to meet someone. So I've been digging this dude. I'm going to call him Jim because he's a Gemini. Mistake number one. Jim works with me. Broke rule number one right out the bat.
There are exceptions to every rule, Kat.
So I started, you know, talking, getting very personable and like, oh, you're beautiful. You know, you're a beautiful young lady. You're smart. I just can't believe that you're single. I was like, oh, he's cute, but he's probably got a girlfriend or something.
But it turns out that Jim was single and really flirtatious. He was also super attractive.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this guy my number. Gave him my number. He gave me his number. We worked very late. So I text him one morning and, you know, I text him twice. And then I was like, okay, he's not reciprocating. I guess he doesn't feel the same way I do.
It started looking like Jim was all talk and no action. So Kat called him on his BS.
I was like, you know what? You need to reciprocate because I feel like I'm chasing you and I don't like that. So he calls me and he was like, hey, you want to come over? And I was like, yeah. Turned completely around to come to go to his place.
The plan was to hang out and talk, maybe watch a movie. It was all pretty spontaneous.
We're sitting there, we're talking. So he gets a phone call. After that, he comes back in and he was like, I need to go get my son.
Did he know that ahead of time and still invite her over? Or did that just come up?
I must pause and say, I did take a shower at his place because I was hot and sweaty and I felt like I was dirty from work. And I'm like, I really need to take a shower. So I took a shower at his place when he was on the phone.
Okay, hang on. It's a first date. And while you take that call, I'm going to take a quick shower. We're missing something, Kat. But then it all started to come together.
Okay, this is not exactly what I was planning on. I was trying to come over to get to know him better. So long story short, not planned, not intended to, but we ended up sleeping together.
All right, this is making a little more sense. They hooked up. They're two consenting adults. It's been a year, COVID, lockdown, shazam.
Just so happens I have a doctor's appointment that following week. So one of the questions that they asked me was, would you like to get tested for STDs? Lo and behold, the test comes back positive for chlamydia. I freaked out. And the icing on the cake was, I got the results on April Fool's. So at first, I thought my doctor was just like, I was like, this is not funny. She goes, no, ma'am. She said, I only call unless there's an issue.
I think Kat wanted it to be a joke. That's how unexpected the phone call was.
I just like went and I just got in the shower and I'm like bawling my eyes out in the shower.
She contacted Jim, who also thought it was a joke at first. And he recalled another partner who could have given him an STD.
He was so very apologetic. And I'm like, going back to work, we're back on the same shifts again and I have to see him at work.
It felt awkward. Hey, good morning. Would you like some cream and sugar with your antibiotics?
So then all of a sudden, that one Thursday, he calls me and we talk until it's like time for us both to go to work.
It was healing. Things were starting to get back to normal. Kat was feeling optimistic.
Okay, all is well in the world. You know, I'm texting him back. Hey, I'm still thinking about our conversation we had this morning. Nothing. Total radio silence. Then Friday, I go out with some friends. We're out celebrating. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call from him. And one of the things I legitimately remember telling him was, I have been drinking. All I remember out of the conversation he and I had was that he works a lot. His son is living with him now, so that's new to him. You know, he just wants to be friends. And then it was like, are you mad? And I'm like, no, I'm just kind of disappointed because this was so left field.
But it was more than kind of disappointed. Kat had higher hopes for this guy. She broke the rules.
This guy has put me through too much shit after the short time span trying to get to know him. I mean, I really do like this dude.
And she felt he was giving her mixed messages about the relationship even after the call.
He video called me a couple of days ago just to say hi. He was just, hey, how you doing?
And he kept appearing in Kat's space at work too.
Every time I turned the corner, he was there. It was like, okay, this is too much of a coincidence that I keep running into you.
So why is Kat still thinking about Jim anyway?
It's just something about him. Do I have this sexual attachment with him? The sex was great. I mean, phenomenal.
Maybe it's a classic case of mistaking lust for love. Or maybe it's just unrequited love. But does Jim live more in Kat's mind or in her life?
I feel like I deserve someone in my life. I don't know if it's him or not, but we vibe and we click. And that's the thing that kind of is exciting and it scares me at the same time. And I'm like, am I just infatuated or what? Because he was the first one to say, you know, I really do like you. But I feel like I'm the only one that's trying to make it work.
So Kat, she's breaking all the rules.
She's breaking my rules.
Wait, what do you mean? What are your rules?
Oh, I wouldn't shit where I eat. I wouldn't date someone at work.
Well, you know that I dated someone that I...
Oh, I know you did. That's why we're starting right here. Get right out on the table.
So just for clarity, I was in almost a 3-year relationship with one of my coworkers. And it was fine until it ended.
Until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't. And I had to break up with him. And a few weeks later, he got let go. And just for reference, the nature of my position, I had to collect his key card, his laptop. It was just awful. Do you remember that day?
Yeah, that wasn't a good day.
We were in my car in our work parking lot, and I was just sobbing. And you just sat there while I sobbed, and you were there for me, and I think we went and got Starbucks. So yeah, Kat has very specific rules when it comes to dating, and I understand them.
It sounds like her type of work is similar to production. You're doing long shifts. You don't really have time for a personal life. And it's like, oh, well, maybe I should break a rule here because he's flirting with me. I'm attracted to him. Let's see where it goes. And it went.
And then it went. It all happened so quickly.
We also don't know how aggressive she was.
We don't now.
She might have been like pining for him and he's like, all right, yeah, come over. And then all of a sudden...
She was on the way home and she did a fucking U-turn. She was like Baby Driver. She fucking whipped that car around and beelined it to his house.
Screeched through the driveway like fucking Tokyo Drift. Just like runs through the door, clothes off, ready to go.
Yeah, the way she told the story to me, it wasn't straightforward. And I don't know about you, but I'm not showering at someone's house if I don't really know them. Like out the gate. Because they're like virtual strangers. You'd be like, hang out, watch a movie, let me just quickly shower at your place. I'd be more comfortable sitting in my work BO. I don't know. Maybe she's really honest with herself and is like, I am ripe. Like no one should sit next to me before we on demand something. Good for her. Can you imagine just, you know, it's been a while. You had your eye on somebody at work. You're excited about it. It finally happens. And then you find out that he gives you chlamydia after an after-work quickie.
It's hard to come back from that.
Could you imagine you break all the rules and you get slapped with the clap? Like, that sucks. That blows.
And then she's got to show up at work the next day.
Yeah, then they got to face each other.
How's that day in the water cooler talk?
I love you, Kat. I know you're such a big fan of the show, but this is just insane situation. I mean, they clearly established a friendship, but he called it off. And the one thing that I was noticing as she was telling me the story was how she kept coming back to the phone call that they had after that dinner that she had a bunch of drinks at. And she just felt like super hazy and she's like reliving this conversation. And I want to stick on this for a second because when things don't end up going your way, it's easy to go through that mental spiral of let me rework every interaction, every conversation in my head to figure out where it went wrong. What did I do wrong? Oh man, it had to have been that call after I had a few drinks. I don't remember exactly what I said. Could I have said something? Could I have altered the course of what is happening right now? And the reality is that it most oftentimes has very little to do with anything that you've done. And it's just something that that other person is going through. Nothing she would have said would have altered the course of what he wanted to do. The guy just wants to be friends.
I do think part of what puts us in the thought cycle is when there's inconsistency in what intentions are.
Yeah, the boundaries are really blurred. I mean, she obviously has feelings for him, and it feels like a really intimate friendship, but it feels very one-sided, and she's looking for any sign that there is more there. There's, like, friendship, and then there's, like, that gray area where he's kind of emotionally using her in some ways. And, like, that's not cool either.
It's not.
I don't know. This is a Pasadena for me, Kat.
Stick to your rules.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Sin is a listener from London who's had an on-again, off-again relationship with dating apps. She understands that if you're single, it's just part of life.
I've been single for about 2.5 years. I dipped in and out of dating apps here and there. I think I dip in for like a month and then dip out for a year. No particular reason. I just think I have a very low tolerance for dating apps. If it's not fun, I dip in. If it's not fun, I dip out again.
Sin decided she needed a serious break. It was actually hurting her romantic life. She was showing up for the date, but she wasn't really there.
A good 9 months. Like, I made myself do it. Like, I went on dates and they were fine, but I just think my attitude was all wrong. Like, I would drag myself there, drag myself back, and it just wasn't fun anymore. And I think my attitude just sucked. They weren't doing anything wrong, but I just was wrong headspace. I think I probably felt a bit cold at times.
Can I relate to that? Hiding in the bathroom, texting help to my best friend, secretly calling an Uber, staring at my watch. Yeah, I can relate.
During those 9 months, I switched off. It just took the pressure off, and I totally recommend it to everyone. Even when I don't actively swipe, having it on the phone makes me think, oh, I'll have a look in and see all the likes. Let's see if my ego is, you know, gets inflated today. So switching it off made me feel like I was taking a bit of control and I was being single out of conscious choice. This winter, about 6 months ago, I started to like throw myself into it again. And I feel like that hiatus was really good for me because when I went into dating, I got some really good dating karma. Like all my dates were great. It was something in the air. It must have been my attitude shift or something. Maybe it was just my time. So maybe I was being a bit more intentional and a bit more purposeful. And maybe I was just being a better dater. I met this guy. We had about 2 good dates, like good, nice dates. He was tall and lovely and cute and chatty and definitely my type. We got along well, and I think we had a walk or a dinner or something rather. He seemed to do all the right things and it was great. And then after a while, he kind of dwindled in messaging and I could feel the vibe. I'm like, okay, here we go.
And just like that, my stomach starts to hurt with sympathy pains. Is this guy a ghoster? Not exactly.
He was just not really committing to plans. Wah, wah, wah. So I called him out and he was like, it's hard to explain. Like, let's meet up for coffee. I was like, why? Like, what are you, like, I'm giving you an out. Like, come on. So I said, okay, fine. I kind of got the vibe that there was some kind of anxiety there, with social anxiety, or she just was nervous to say something. But at this point, I was just really curious. And I was like, yeah, sure, what else am I going to do? Like, I'll happily meet up and have another chat or whatever. Not as a date, but just my curiosity now has just peaked. But then on the day we were to meet, I woke up and he said, oh, the weather's terrible. Should we reschedule? And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm like mad now. I said, oh, I didn't realize the weather was like a reason to cancel dates. I mean, bearing in mind, in London, it's just never not raining.
Okay, now he's getting on my nerves.
And he finally told me, like, why, I guess. He said, yeah, I'm just not in a good headspace. I've moved back with my parents. I'm just feeling fat and work is going crazy and I'm just not in a good space. When he told me, I completely understood. I was like, completely understandable. I hope you get better. And I genuinely meant that from the bottom of my heart.
But guess who reappeared?
I kind of just deleted his number. And then a few weeks later, he pops up like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, hey, good to hear from you. He's like, sorry if it's weird to message. I'm like, no, not at all. This is definitely weird. I kind of thought maybe he would have been like, oh, I'm feeling better. I'd love to like take you out again or something. But he just said, oh yeah, I'm feeling better. You know, work's gone a bit easier now. So that's good. And I was like, oh, good to hear that. And then a few hours later, he blocked and deleted me.
Seriously? What the fuck? But Sin wasn't put off by that whole exchange. In fact, she was back out there and met another guy and they had 2 really good dates.
Since then, I rode the wave of like good dating karma and I went on a first and second date with another guy. He was great. We had 2 or 3 great dates. We like bantered great, all happy days. I got good vibes and stuff. And then out of the blue, like mid banter, he iced me out for 2 days straight.
And then he came back with an explanation.
You're an amazing person. I think I'm just a bit scarred from my past relationships and experiences. I thought I was over them, but clearly I'm having a difficult time trying to accept new people in my life. It triggers my anxiety and I panic. I'm so sorry. I don't want to drag you into my personal issues. It's not fair on you. You deserve better. I saved that message because I was like, I know you're rejecting me, but this is making me love you even more. If I was younger, I would have been into the mind of being the one to heal him, because like this message was just so beautifully crafted and emotionally intelligent, and it was from a guy, and I was like, oh my God, let me fix you and let's be together and it's just gonna be great. And I just replied, no need to apologize, completely understand. If you find yourself in a better place down the line, do let me know. I'd love to go again. And I do mean that. Don't be a stranger.
Was that a step over text? Is she my protege?
I think I've rode my wave. I think I'm ready to like tap out for a bit again. But there was one more guy actually who kind of popped up sort of. And I think I actually accidentally swiped right rather than left. And during the Christmas holidays, when there was absolutely nothing to do, I found myself feeding into it a little bit more than I would have.
Sin wasn't really into it. It was out of boredom more than anything else. But of course, when you least expect it.
But interestingly enough, it actually was nice. Him and I have been seeing each other since, and it's been like 3 or 4 weeks. We're at that sweet spot of date 3 or 4, where I'm like, okay, how do I really feel about him? Is this going to be a bit of a thing? What's next? The first time we hung out was his place. The second time I hung out was his place again, and it was very much like a hangout. I felt like a teenager at someone's house when they were kind of watching sports, and I was like, this is not my scene. I'm too grown up for this. Like, I miss dates and like being courted. Like, that really helps me figure out if I like someone or not.
So Sin decided to try something new. She started modeling the types of things that she wanted from this new guy to see if he would take the hint.
I'm gonna woo him. So he came to my place and I had cooked dinner and I put on like a cute dress, and he came in and I think he was like, oh my God, you made a bit of a spread. I'm like, yes, I have. Look how adorable I am. Oh, well, so, you know, you made a really nice spread for me. Why don't you come to mine and I'll cook dinner? And I was like, oh, really? That's so sweet. Okay. So I went to his house looking cute, and he had dinner ready. He had wine. He was like, oh, I've poached some pears for dessert. And I was like, really? Are you sure? That is so sweet. I feel like I had some wifey tricks there. Like, I really kind of manipulated this situation to be like, yeah, you will wine and dine me, bitch. It helped me strengthen my feelings for him a bit, because he was kind of courting me a bit more. But now I'm thinking, well, what's next?
For now, she's sticking with her new guy and continuing to show him ways to actively participate in growing a relationship.
A few days ago, I called the guy I'm seeing, and I just called him late one night, and he was like, hey, how's it going? Is everything all right? I'm like, yeah, I just thought I'd say hi and check in. He was like, oh, that's really sweet. I'm like, yeah, I know. Please follow suit. You need to feed into what you want. Like, even if they like leave, I'm still putting them into the dating pool slightly better.
Sin is... we're kindred spirits.
Kindred spirits? She's too easy on these guys.
She's too easy on these guys?
Yeah.
Huh.
There's the guy with the COVID blues. He's making excuses. He's backing away. And then he's honest, but she doesn't get a clear explanation.
She sensed him pulling back his energy. And I think a lot of people are struggling with mental health. I mean, we live in London. It's gray and rainy like 90% of the time. A lot of people would be like, oh, this guy doesn't like me enough to like pull out of his depression. No, he's just depressed. He's not in a good place. Moving on.
So then date two, they go on 2 to 3 dates. And then he writes a long text about how he's not ready to meet new people. I mean, it sounds very similar to guy one. Like, I'm just not ready for this. And that makes her want him even more.
She said herself, like 5 years ago, she would have seen this text message of a guy being super emotional and interpreting that as he's capable of being fixed and wanting to be the person to fix him. And she's now at a place where she's like, been there, done that. He's drawing boundaries. He doesn't have the space for me right now. I respect that.
All right, so now we got a Christmas guy.
I've gone back and forth about this. I'm trying to figure out how I feel. She's modeling behavior that she wants this guy to follow. Like, take a hint. And I think a lot of people want the person that they're seeing to just automatically do those things. Should they? Should we all have that expectation?
I think whenever you're starting with expectations, you're leading for some trouble. Because those expectations are coming from past experience. The person you're dating is not necessarily going to be able to read and interpret all those things that you're expecting. So what I loved about what Sin did was she modeled it. And what did she get back in return? She wasn't expecting it back. She was surprised. She was impressed. She was taken with it.
Yeah. And if he didn't do it back and just had her over for a basketball game and had like takeout, she'd fucking walk.
You know, it comes back to something that you say, Dre, how are you matching my hay?
Ben and I don't like it when you write an email and you're like, hey, so-and-so, hope you had a great weekend. And they respond back.
Hi. Yeah, my weekend was okay.
So fucking deflating. I do this all the time, too. I measure the expectations with chemistry. It's more so like I am measuring how that person is acting and how what they're doing for me. And, you know, if they create a great space on their own without me having to verbalize it, that's just natural chemistry and indicative of how they're feeling in the moment.
But think about all the differences that people are bringing into a relationship. It's not just past relationships. It's how you saw your parents interact. If you had divorced parents, it's how you saw them interact, your grandparents. There are just all these different relationship examples that you're seeing and growing up. At the beginning, there's going to be some misalignment of expectations. But if you can come in with, hey, if I try something, I wonder how that person's going to respond to it. You're setting yourself up for success there. And I think that's what Sin's doing.
Yeah, I do like this a lot because maybe he didn't realize how into it she was. And she just, you know, came from a place of like, here's my behavior. Here's what I want. And he got creative too. Moving forward, and I've done this recently where I'm lining up a date. Even if I'm not 100% sure if the date's going to happen, I just make a reservation. I make a reservation to the restaurant I want to go to at the time that I want. And when that person follows up, it's, I made a reservation at this time, meet me there.
I know that's something that you're looking for, consistency and clarity on what the plans are on date night. You're just modeling it.
That's my new move. And I discovered that relatively recently. And I love it.
Let's coin a new term, empowered dating, right? You're taking control. You're not just waiting for another guy to set the plans and like, oh, I hope he, you know, shows up and makes, no, fuck that. Making the plans. Love it.
Here for it. Here for Sin. It's hot back summer, baby. And we're swimming.
Relationships in 2021 are complicated and we're here for it. Keep telling us your stories. We love hearing all of them. And be sure to check us out on Instagram at DatingDiariesQC for more dating content.
And tell your friends about the podcast. If you enjoy it, rate it and review it with 5 stars. And until next week, stay safe out there, guys. This podcast is hosted and executive produced by me, Andrea Gunning. Executive produced by Nancy Glass, Ben Fetterman, and Carrie Hartman. Produced by Julie Clark. Associate producers include Megan Paisley and Kristen Malcuri. Edited by Mac Daggett and Matt Delvecchio. Special thanks to Natalie Thomas. Music by Mibe Music. Some names have been changed to protect privacy.